Britain's Prime Minister Sir Keir Starmer says he supports a strong, independent BBC, but is demanding the broadcaster must get its house in order as it faces the threat of being sued by US President Donald Trump. It comes after the BBC's Director General and Head of News quit over a misleading edit of a speech by President Trump with wider accusations of bias. The US president is demanding up to $1 billion in damages, a payout that could force the BBC to compensate him with licence fee money and intensify political pressure on the organisation. Lewis Goodall is a journalist, broadcaster and co-host of the News Agents podcast and a former BBC Newsnight policy editor. Lewis, welcome to Radio National Breakfast.
Thanks, Sally.
How damaging is this whole saga for the BBC?
Well, look, it is proving to be, it remains to be seen how damaging it is in terms of public trust, because of course, we must remember that President Trump in the United Kingdom, a bit like as in, I suspect, in Australia, is a pretty unpopular figure, even among Conservative voters and Reform Party voters, the kind of, you know, radical right party in the UK. He's a relatively unpopular figure, but it's certainly politically difficult. It's very politically difficult for the BBC to find itself, which hates to be at the centre of any sort of political controversy, to be in a position, however absurd in some ways, to be in a position where it is being threatened with legal action by the President of the United States. And we've become that has become normal and normalised. It's obviously very, very unusual, but a very, very difficult position for the BBC to find itself.
What are the wider problems for the BBC at the moment? Is this about this issue of a misleading edit in this program about President Trump, or are there bigger problems with the structure and the practices of the BBC?
Well, look, the accusation that has emerged is the idea that it is institutionally biased, not just institutionally biased against President Trump, but on an array of a suite of different issues. Usually that criticism is from the right, but it's not exclusively from the right. And look, the BBC obviously finds itself, the big picture here, I mean, this is a particular set of allegations that have been made, but this has been rumbling on for a long time, partly because, of course, as politics has become more fractious in the UK as it has in Australia, more polarised, more divided on lots of different kind of axes. It's not just a Labour Conservative thing anymore. You know, you've got the Green Party, you've got the Conservatives, you've got the kind of culture war issues. The BBC struggles to know how to respond to those things. It struggles because it ends up getting criticism from nearly every single direction. And the big kind of structural problem, and this problem will pass, sooner or later it will pass. There's a bigger structural thing though for the BBC, which is that its charter, i.e. the reason it is able to exist in the form that it does, is up for renewal in 2027. That is, will be up to the UK government. And of course, they're now going into that process, not only finding themselves in a deeply, deeply politically difficult position with the White House, but also without a leader, without a head of news. And by the time inevitably that new leader, that new director general is appointed, which, you know, if it's going to be anyone decent, they're probably doing a job as it is right now. These processes, you know, they take so long. I mean, it could easily be next summer by the time that person's in place. That's like a year before that charter renewal process is due to be complete. So it's just the worst, all of this, whatever you think about the substance of it, it is just the worst possible timing for the BBC in its future.
How much of this is about not only the mistakes that have been made, but the way in which the BBC has responded to concerns about bias and the speed in which it has responded?
Well, look, I mean, it's clear, I mean, without boring all of your listeners too much with the kind of inner criminology of the BBC, I think what is very clear is the reason that it took them a long time to respond to these accusations around this edit on this show of Trump is because there is clearly division at the heart of the BBC board about how to respond. I think my understanding is that, you know, roughly half wanted to put out a statement which said apologise for the edit but went no further, and the other half basically wanted to apologise not just for the edit but for the idea of a kind of wider bias against Trump. And as a result, they just couldn't agree and they said nothing. So that is a problem. Look, I think, you know, for my money, other people will disagree with this in the UK, but for me, this whole thing is an example of how different parts of politics now are just almost living in different sort of planes of reality, right? Because on one level, it's clear that there are huge numbers of people who are deeply, deeply angry about this edit. And indeed, it was a poor edit. It was an edit that was it made in poor judgment. It did mislead the viewer to some extent about Trump. It suggested that he was saying something that he wasn't. But look at it another way. in any fundamental sense, did that one edit detract from what Trump did on January the 6th? No, it didn't really. We know that because of all of the evidence which has been accumulated by endless congressional inquiries and the fact that all of the January 6th insurrectionists, rioters, protesters, whatever you want to call them, have said, so many since have said,
but it
that
was
they were
a
there
fundamentally,
that day because of President Trump.
It was a fundamentally misleading edit, wasn't it? It removed context there.
But did it in any way fundamentally misrepresent what Trump did that day or in the days leading up to January 6th? It misrepresented what he said at that moment. Did it misrepresent his actions on that day and in the days before? I find it very difficult, very, very difficult indeed, to credibly argue that it did. And that's why if Trump did want to take it to court, which the BBC I'm sure doesn't want, but if it did go to court, for every bit of legal analysis I've seen says that Trump would find it very, very difficult to win because, frankly, with regards to January the 6th, he doesn't have much of a reputation to defend.
Isn't it the duty of the journalist to get the edit right, get the detail right, provide the correct context and let the audience make up their own minds?
Of course it is, and it was a poor edit. But look, the question here is President Trump is trying to suggest that that edit fundamentally altered his actions and his behaviour on that day and in the day up to January 6th. He's trying to suggest, and this has been a part of a much longer and wider effort by him and his movement, by the way, trying to downplay his role in that day and in that event. Mm. That edit could be there, it could not be there.
It has is that
no
more reason to get it right?
Of course it is. Look, you're not going to... I'm not arguing with you that that edit should have been made, but like, What is a more grave error here? Is it suggesting to the audience, is it that edit, which was a bad error, don't get me wrong, or would it be suggesting to the audience in any way that President Trump's role in what happened on January the 6th was less than it was? I think, in my view, it is important as well to send out a message to the audience that although that edit was in error, the overall context is that Donald Trump was responsible for what happened that day. That's not me saying that. That's the congressional impeachment process saying that. And it's the fact that so many of the January 6ths themselves
have said it. Are those two things mutually exclusive? Can you have the correct edit and then if it is someone's view, people will have different views that Donald Trump was responsible for what happened on January 6th, then people can reach that conclusion, but it gives the correct context and the correct sequence of what he had to say.
Of course. Again, we're not disagreeing here. These two things aren't mutually exclusive. The edit shouldn't have happened, clearly. But as I say, that edit may have misrepresented what Donald Trump said in that moment. It did not fundamentally, and nor did that whole program, by the way, because, of course, that was just one edit in an overall, I think, 30-minute or 60-minute, I forget, program, did not fundamentally alter what Donald Trump did. And I just find it a very peculiar thing that we're basically... I've worked at the BBC when sometimes they've made a mistake when they've accused someone of doing something that they haven't done, up to and including very, very serious crimes. That's a very, very serious problem. It is true that Donald Trump did not say, as that image or that sort of 10 seconds would suggest, it was not that exact sequence of sentences. But it would be wrong to suggest likewise that somehow just because that edit took place and misrepresented him for that 10 seconds, that there was a wider misrepresentation of what he said and did that day, because that did not take place in that program. So I think, quite frankly, this is being blown out of all proportion for the substance of the issue at hand.
Lewis Goodall, we've run out of time. We'll need to leave it there. Thank you for your time this morning.
Thank you, Sally.